Blog Talk Radio. Special guests to come on the show, and I want them to share. whatever word gives, whatever the Lord gives them to speak, I want to give them an opportunity and a platform to share his word. I want to give them an opportunity and a platform to tell about their testimony. Because if you know, Revelations 12 and 11 tells us what? That they overcame him by the blood and by the word of their testimony. And they love not even themselves, even unto death. So I'm going to just break that down real quick before I introduce our guest who is in the studio with us on tonight. Revelation 12:11 is really a simple scripture, but I want to break it down because sometimes we can read the word of God and we just hear the word. We just hear the logos, and we really don't understand it. It sounds good. We clap. We say hallelujah. We say amen, but we really don't understand. We don't have a clear understanding. And one of the things that I often pray before every show is, Lord, give us revelation knowledge. Give us that rhema word, something that we could grasp to, something that we could see, something that we could apply. Because, you know, they often say you can't see, you can't do what you can't see. And God wants us to see his word. He wants us to get a perception, amen? And so when we talk about Revelation 12 and 11, it talks about they overcame him. And first of all, we have to understand that who is they? They is us. They are the brethren, the Christians, the fellow believers. And him is Satan. Him is the enemy. And then to overcome means to successfully defeat, deal with, or gain control of something difficult. So the enemy is difficult. But guess what? He's not more difficult than our Savior. And so he said, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb, we know who that is. That's none other than our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? There is power in words. Understand this. There is power in words. The whole world in the beginning was formed by what? God's word. He spoke it and it came into fruition. God brought, he wants us to share our testimony. You know, we should be sharing how God brought us through, how God made a way, how God healed, delivered, and set many of us free. We have to do that. It's not my choice to just say, you know, well, God's been good to me, but I'm going to sit on it. I'm not going to tell nobody. You know, that's not good enough. And I heard people say, well, I'm a private person, or, you know, I just don't want to be all, you know, I'm just not all super religious. And you know, they all these different things. But guess what? Your testimony is not even yours. It's God. It belonged to God. And he gives it to us so that we could witness here in the earth. He gives us the testimony because there's somebody that needs to hear your words. There's somebody out there that's going through what God already delivered you through that they need to hear it. So when you sit back and you're not doing what God called you to do, when we sit back and we're lax about the things of God and we're not doing what he called us to do, we're hurting somebody. We're causing somebody delay because somebody needs to hear your testimony. Amen. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our special guest on tonight. Well, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others. My brother in Christ, been knowing for many years, and I've watched him grow. I watched him be silent, and now he's on the street corners preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited to see what God has in store for us tonight through his testimony, through the message that he will be bringing on tonight. And this message tonight is entitled, Don't Give Up on the Process. Amen. So let me see. Brother Quentin, are you in the studio on tonight?
Yes, I am, sis. Can you hear me clear?
We can hear you clear. Welcome to Processing the Pain. It's always a pleasure to have you. So I'm going to release you on tonight, and then I'll step in. I might ask some questions. But I'm gonna release you right now and let you do what God has called you to do, and I'm gonna hush up.
Amen, amen. I want to thank you, Niecy, for bringing me on, and I just want to thank all the listeners, man, for popping in to show honor to the Lord tonight. All right, and that's what my my goal tonight is to do is to just bring honor to God. Before I get into everything, I'm going to start with a really quick prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this forum. We know this is all about you, God, and we know that it takes a repentant heart. It takes an obedient heart, Lord, to come and to profess your name, Lord. So for all those callers who are on the line and for those who may be calling, we pray that they call in with hearts in tune. Lord, we just pray that you would use us in this next hour, Lord, and that you would guide the conversation. So it's in your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to start really quick. I won't give a long, big biography about who I am, what I've come from, and the whole nine. You'll hear it as I profess tonight. But Nisi gave you the title, and I'm really coming from a place of being dependent and grateful. I'm stepping to you tonight, you guys, as not someone who has it all figured out, not the best speaker. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an ordained minister or none of those things. But I'm a broken brother, right? I'm a child of God who's broken and who knows that I need to depend on the Lord for everything. So I pray, man, that you feel my heartbeat tonight, and that that something lands, you know, because this is really just from the heart. I'm opening it up. I told one of my cousins, man, I'm cleaning out my closet, you know, and I'm just going all in, and I'm really exposed, and so. Maybe in the last, Nisi mentioned, the last 8 or so years, just really quick, just so you know, I came to the Lord in around 2013. It wasn't through a traditional church. I connected with a brother. His name is Larry Austin out of Oakland, California, Pastor Larry Austin, or PLA. He's a gospel hip-hop rapper as well as a preacher. And the brother spoke my language. And he was able to communicate the gospel to me in a way that it had never made sense. And I started going to his Bible study every Wednesday night for 5 years in a row. I didn't miss a class, and I'd be in there and I'd be taking notes, and I typed those notes up, and I would go in home and I would study them, and I really fed on that. And so to fast forward, Pastor Larry left the church in 2017, and we had a heart for street ministry. Again, he's a gospel rapper, so we show up on street corners, we cut the music on, he would rap, we pass out some food, we pray over people, I shake some hands, and that's how we were doing it. We eventually left the church completely. Our Bible study class went on mission, right? We went on an urban mission back to the block, back to the neighborhoods that we had come from. And we knew that we had a gospel that healed, and why not take that to the places that hurt? So we went back to West Oakland. We went back to East Oakland. We went back to these really tough places, homeless encampments. And we landed on a park over about the – we've been out there about a year or two, and we landed on a park, and God said, stay right there. That's the place. And we've been showing up at this park for the last 4 years having service. People get a hot meal, get prayed over. We serve communion every Sunday. It's come as you are. Maybe 40, 50, sometimes 60 people are out there. And it really is a blessing to see God just bringing his family together. We still are on the block. I still stand with Pastor Larry some nights. And so that thing is still happening. But God was challenging me and telling me, okay, that's cool, Q. I got you doing that. But there's something else that you need to be in. And Sister Nisi opened up the conversation tonight talking about that. She mentioned that it ain't good enough just to be on the team, but you actually got to be active on this team. And she said it ain't cool enough just to know the word and keep it to yourself, but we've all been called to go. The scripture says, come to me all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. But then the scripture said, now go ye therefore and propel the lost, right? And so get busy. Don't come here and sit. Get out there and get busy. So the Lord was pressing in on me and telling me there was something I had to do. I'm getting to my challenge real quick here, you guys. So I'm thinking, well, what is it? What is it that he's calling me to do? And quite frankly, it was a Bible study. It's men's Bible study. I've been doing it for the last 6 months now. Brothers call in on Wednesday night. Maybe about 7 or 8 brothers call in, and it's a good time in the Lord. But beyond that, what God was saying was, you go and you go now, Q. He didn't say, come to me, Q, and wait until I get you ready to go. He didn't say, wait till you go to ministry school. He didn't say, wait till you stop sinning. He said, go now, because your testimony is important. Somebody need to hear what you got to say right now. Remember, it ain't the power ain't in us, y'all. The power is in him, right, which is why he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. So I had to get out of my own way, y'all, and that's my challenge. And that's what I'm kind of stepping into tonight is what I want to really share with you guys, that the tug of my heart over the last, I don't know, year or so has really been about getting out of my way. You know, there's a fleshly man, a natural man, and there's a spiritual man. And those two have been at war, just like in probably a lot of you. And the natural man had been winning, because the natural man was telling me, man, don't do that. That don't look right. You look funny if you do that. That look crazy. Man, people going to think, people going to say. And so the spiritual man had to be built up to kind of die to that natural. And that's kind of where I'm headed at tonight, you know, around that. I was hesitant. Check this out. I was hesitant to witness to those closest to me. I didn't have a problem going out in the highways and byways, on the block, in the turf, in the trap, wherever, talking to people that I didn't know. They were strangers. They couldn't judge me. I didn't have, but it was my first cousins. It was my uncles, not my friends. It was those were the people that were the most challenging to me. And why, though? That's the question. Well, why would those be the most challenging to you? Those are the people that love you, right? Why would you be challenged to take the gospel to them? It seemed like that would be easy. For some reason, I'm just going to call it what it is, y'all. Like I said, I'm being real open tonight. It was a fear thing. I was fearful about how I was going to be looked at, how I was going to be judged. And then God got to talking, and he started saying, check this out, partner. It ain't about you anyway. You ain't nobody looking at you. It's me that's being glorified, right? So I don't care how you look or what you say. I'm doing the work. I'm going to bring the increase. You just go, and you just be obedient. Get out of my way and let me just use you. And so when I got a hold of that thought, I got, okay, well, I'm going to try this thing. And it started with me maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, family. I would send out text messages to different family members and different friends. But I would cherry pick my list. I don't want to send it to him. Yeah, he don't want to hear. He ain't into that. She ain't going to listen. He ain't going to respond back. Oh, such and such into it. Oh, my cousin Bay, bro, he'll like it. And so I'm cherry-picking the list, right? I'm picking it the good ones, so to say. And God is like, nah, I want all them names. What are you holding back for? Every one of them names you send it to, I don't care who it is, what can they do to you? And then it got me thinking about the scripture. And if you turn to Matthew 10, or if you don't, but Matthew 10, it's a really short passage. But it talks about denying Christ. You know, in the Bible, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And I got to thinking, well, Lord, I ain't never denied you. But here's what the scripture says about that. And it says it's really plain and simple. It says in Matthew 10, verse 33, it says, but whoever will deny me before men, now this is Jesus talking, family. He says, whoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So you're going to get, you're going to get quiet on me down here and be shame about me. Okay, well, when it comes time for judgment, because there is a judgment, right, and now I'm going to get quiet on you. So now have it your way, Q. You worried about how they're going to look at you, or are you worried about how the Father going to look at you? So that got me out of myself, y'all. Now I'm like, okay, I get it. But, God, I ain't been denying you. I didn't tell nobody I didn't love you. I didn't tell nobody I didn't believe in you. But the Spirit tells me, no, you're denying me by your worship. You're denying me with your testimony. You're denying me when you don't share those text messages. All that's denial. It's like, wow, you got me. He says, so go, ye therefore, just like I told you, and I'll supply the increase. The next place I want to kind of move into, and then what I have, you guys, I have 3 points that I'm going to cover really briefly. They won't take long, but I really needed to set this up. In the book of Hebrews, and that again, it's just a really short passage. It's in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. If you want to go back over this, man, feel free to. But and this is what it says. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, if he can go through all that, basically the word is saying, you see all he went through to glorify God, to bring you through, and you can't withstand a little so-called embarrassment, whatever you, man, quit tripping. Get up outside of your head and get busy. And so that's what happens. And here's the scripture that supports that. So I really wanted to just touch that really quick. No airs tonight, family. No, I got it made. I got it figured out. No, I'm there. I've been in the Lord for 9 years, and I'm ministering. And none of that. A broken brother that's dependent. That's who's presenting to you tonight. Totally dependent and grateful. The dependency, though, looks weak to the world, you know, which is why it's hard to admit, man, I'm dependent on something, right? A dependency in the world's eyes is a weakness. That's how the world sees things. Unbelievers look at believers as being, man, you fail for that. A virgin birth? What? A parting of a sea? Man, okay, that's a good story. And maybe that works for you. That's cool, partner. That works for you. That's your coping mechanism. I get it. You need that to get through life. But check this out, King. I'm strong. I don't need that. I'm smart enough, right? I got enough power. I got money. So I don't need them kind of things. So that's cool for you, but I don't need those things. That's leading me to my point here tonight. And we're talking about the preeminence of God, right? Again, it's okay. That weak posture that the world sees, that's fine because it's actually a strong posture because I'm leaning on God. And that's right where he wants us, y'all. He wants us in a position of total dependence on him all the time because he knows the minute we think we got it figured out, now we don't spin off and try to do our own thing. I got it now. I don't need God no more. I got my money right, okay? I got the job. I got the whatever. And so God is saying, no, I need you constantly dependent on me all of the time. The preeminence of God, that's where that comes into play, right? This whole thing about God being the supremacy, the top. There's an order of things. I know, Coach D, you talk a lot on this show about alignment and being out of order. And there's a natural order, God, Jesus, man, woman. There's an order. And so when we place things out of order, when God ain't preeminent, when he ain't at the top, when I'm not seeing him clearly, things get a little off. And that's kind of what our world looks like, right? We got people placing other things before God. Put a pin in that. I'll come back to it. Just on a quick side note, in terms of humbling myself, and I didn't know if I was going to mention this story or not, but it's interesting, and I think it pertains to what we're talking about tonight. Talking about humbling yourself and going low. You know that Jesus washed the feet of his apostles, right? We saw that in the gospel. Maybe about a year, no, it was about last March. I went to a revival I go to every year. I've been going for the last 8 years. And I went last year, and it's a week long, and every week on the Thursday night they do a foot washing. And for 8 years straight, y'all, I always find a way to get out before the foot washing, all right? I got to go to the bathroom, my phone, whatever. But I get up out of that thing. Because I don't want to wash nobody's feet. Well, this last year, I was, you know, feeling extremely grateful and, you know, coming through the pandemic and hadn't been touched with illness and just feeling grateful. And I decided, man, I'm going to see if I can do the foot washing this year. And so the pastor calls everybody to come up. Men, come down this way. Women, you come on this side. Couples, you come together. And so first off, it wasn't a whole bunch of men getting up to go anyway. So I was like, well, let me see if I can find a brother in here I know. And maybe me and him could, you know, and I look back and I saw one of my young partners in the back of the church and we made eye contact and he let me know right off the top, I ain't doing that, Q. You on your own, fam. I was like, okay, I got it. And I was finna sit down too. I was like, yeah, I feel him. I ain't doing either. But then something told me, nah, you walk in faith. Go on up there. Just walk. You don't know what's gonna happen. And I went to the front of the church, y'all, and it wasn't no other men up there. It was just one brother. He was a homeless brother. He was dirty. He smelled funny. He was unclean. And he was the only brother there, so that's who I had to wash his feet. And he started to cry when I washed his feet. And he said, man, I can't believe nobody would ever want to touch my feet. And I'm thinking, well, it ain't like I wanted to. but the spirit, man, you know, is convicting. And I'm blessed and I'm grateful. So if Jesus could do it, so can I. And so I washed this brother's feet, man, and we wore gloves and all that. And they clean the water and they bring the next water. And now he's got to wash mine. And he did it. And so we made a bond. And I wasn't completely comfortable with it, y'all. I ain't going to lie. But here's the point I'm trying to make. Sometimes God's using us. Right, for our own sake and for the sake of others. Nisi, you talked about that in the beginning, right? It ain't just for you. The testimony for somebody else. My young partner and me talked afterwards, and he's like, man, Q, I'm sorry, bro, but I just couldn't do it. I said, man, don't trip, fam. I understand. I've been here for 8 years, and I done sat back there every year and ain't done it. I said, so I couldn't just go another year. And me doing that, I think it's propelled him to kind of want to do it. Now, whenever I see him, he mentions that night. Man, Q, I can't believe you did that, man. That's big, man. That's big. So God is working on his heart, right? He don't bring us to a place to just leave us, y'all. This is a constant progression, right? Well, I've been in this thing for 8 years, and I still can't humble myself enough. So anyway, that's just a little side note story I wanted to throw in there. Being humble enough, growing in the Lord, right? It ain't just a talk thing. We really got to walk this thing out. I'm in Act 1. I have three acts, right? I'm in Act 1, y'all. We're talking about dependent and grateful. Nisi, let me know if I'm doing something wrong, if I'm talking too long, you need me to speed it up or whatever's happening. I'm flexible.
Let them use you. Let them use you.
Amen, sis. In Act 1, you guys, I was weak. This was a time when I didn't know the Lord. It was 2010, and I didn't have a relationship with God. And, you know, I prayed here and there. I was doing my own thing, right? I like weed. I like women. I like betting on sports. I like just doing me, you know, and that kind of thing. And God was cool, but that really wasn't my thing. I had a job. I had some money in my pocket. So I didn't need that. I didn't need that as much as some people or whatever. In the book of Habakkuk, I always say that wrong. Habakkuk is his name. He's an Old Testament prophet. But in Habakkuk, he's screaming out to the Lord, you guys. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you'll get the gist of it. I'm just going to read the first two verses. And this is what Habakkuk said. He's screaming out to the Lord, and he says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Or I cry out to you, violence, but you don't save me? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing and destruction and violence? And he goes on and on. But what I want you to see there is the desperation, the plea, the calling out that Habakkuk did, right? God has to take us, right? And that's the first working of the Holy Spirit, y'all, is to take us to a place where we scream out for him. We got to want him to want him. He's got to make us kind of want him. That's an inside job. I might not just come on my own. Just because you sent me a scripture, just because the preacher prayed, and just because the music was good, that ain't really enough to move most people, right? God's going to have to go to work personally on your life. It's going to have to come up out these pages of the Bible and up out that phone scriptures. It's going to have to get real to the point where, okay, I just can't do it. I got to get this to the Lord. Now, 2010, y'all, I was an after-school coordinator at one of the high schools. I thought I was doing my thing. I got the word about 2 or 3 weeks before we was ready to go back to school that we wasn't coming back to school. That's over, partner. They done pulled the plug on that. The funding is gone. Ain't no job. I'm like, what? And so I thought I was going to handle it. I'd be cool. I'd get something else, this, that, and the other. But as the time approached, it was like, man, a time ticket, and I ain't got nothing. And, you know, I don't want to go down. You know, I got an image to uphold, right? I got to look a certain way. And one night, man, I'm laying in the bed, and I couldn't sleep. And it was an unrest over me like I had never felt before. I got up out of the sleep, tried to watch TV. That made it worse. Cut the TV off. The red light from the cable box is bothering me. Every little thing is irritating me, right? My shirt is itched. Something ain't right. I got up out the room, went to another room, sat in a chair. That didn't work. Maybe I'll go outside and do some jumping jacks. That didn't work. Okay, I'll exercise. I'll stretch. I'll. I'm doing all these things, family, and ain't none of them working. The discomfort I felt, hear me on this, man. This is real, you guys. The discomfort I felt was an unrest that I never felt in my life, an uneasiness. If you can imagine what it feels like to have, you know, sometimes your back itch and you can't get to that spot on your back that's itching and it's irritating you and you're trying to find that spot and you just can't get it. Imagine that itch on the inside of your body, though, within your body, right, throughout your body, that itch, but you can't scratch it. And it was just, it got intense as time went on and intensified. And now my breathing started feeling funny, like, man, am I hyperventilating? What's happening? And this went on maybe about 2 or 3 hours, me trying to fix myself, right? I got it. I'm cool. I can do this. And I realized it wasn't getting no better. Kick y'all, I had to cry out to God. I had remembered a long time hearing people say, my mama, my dad, my aunties, well, if you're ever in a situation, just call on the Lord. You can always call on the Lord, and I remember hearing that. And I got so desperate that I got down on my knees and on my face, family, and I laid there, and I just called on Jesus. I just kept saying his name. I wasn't even praying, but I was just saying his name over and over. Every name of God I'd ever heard, I was throwing it out there because I was desperate. Maybe after about, I can't even be honest and say with you how long I was down there. I don't know how long. But after a while, a peace came over me, right? Talking about being grateful here tonight. A peace came over me, y'all, and I waited for a while because I wasn't sure if it was going to go away. And so I gingerly kind of crawled back up in the bed, and I curled up. I didn't get comfortable. I ain't grabbed no pillow and adjust no covers or none of that stuff. I laid humbly in one position. I didn't want to mess that thing up. And then I was able to sleep through the night in peace. The takeaway from that is I called out on the Lord and showed up, right? I knew something about him was real in that moment. Later on, when I described this episode to people, they told me what I was having was called a panic attack. And I was like, wow, is that what that was? I had no idea, and I haven't ever had one since. I had never had one before that. But I was so grateful that God brought me out of that. And ever since that night, man, I prayed day and night, God, thank you for your peace, because I know what not having peace feels like. And again, I don't know what hell is going to be like, y'all, but if it's anything like that felt in that moment, I'm good on that. I'm transitioning now. I'm in Act 2. And in Act 2, this is maybe 3 years later we pick up. I'm still not walking with the Lord. I don't have a relationship yet, but I know that he has some power, but I still don't see him clearly, right? I ain't seeing the full him, because check this out. I done got another job now. Your boy is back, right? Not only that, I got two or three of them things, so I'm doing it, right? I'm still grateful for the Lord, though, because he got that peace thing under control. I do need him for that. So he's like my pocket guy, right? I'm using him for the peace. I need you for your peace, God, but I got everything else, right? The weed, the women, that's all me. I got all that part, but you handle the peace. I ain't got him in his right position, right? He's not at the head right now. Other things are. Here we go. 2013, got word where I was having some like chronic pain. Most people know me. I work out a lot, you know, and I was working out, and something just started hurting me, man, out of nowhere in my back, and it was chronic. This was like January, February, and it wouldn't go away. It was hurting bad, and on top of that, I caught a little cold, and I was like, man, I'm tired. And then it was at a time where I was telling myself, man, I'm going to stop smoking weed. I'm tired of it. But then I got the word that my dad had been diagnosed with cancer. And it was malignant, and it was staged, whatever, and he didn't have long to live. And that was the gut that got me, family. That was the one. It was nothing I could do, right, in that situation. Check this out. The weed didn't work no more. Wasn't getting high. The females wasn't bringing the pleasure no more. The me looking to me for the things that I normally went to, all of that had become powerless. God had basically backed me into a corner where it was like, ain't nothing going to work no more. You're going to have to come on in. I went to the gym that night, man. I was just going to sit in a hot tub in a jacuzzi. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I was just going to think it through like we do at times, right? I wasn't taking it to God. I was taking it to myself. I was going to think it through and figure some things out. And I got there. It was a brother sitting in the hot tub, and I was like, dang, this dude going to try to talk. I don't feel like being in no conversation right now. Dang. And sure enough, the brother got to talking, but he got to talking about his own issues, y'all. And you know they say the best way to make yourself feel better is to help somebody else, right? And so as I'm trying to counsel him and help him out and give him words of encouragement, he slipped one in on me, family. He got me. He said, you know what, man, you're right. He said, I'm stressing. I'm tripping on my kids and my son out in these streets shooting up stuff. He said, but you know what? My pastor always tells me, you can either worry about it or you can pray about it. And when he said that, y'all, the light went off in my head. It was like, bang, that's it. I've been worrying about stuff that I ain't got no control over. But I can give this thing to God. I can pray on it. And check this out. Even if my dad don't get healed, at least I'll have some peace around death. At least that part will make sense. I won't have to be tripping on that. Man, that began my walk. That began my quest for God. Now I wanted to see him clearly. You see what he had to do? He had to bring situations in my life to make me want him, to make me cry out for him, to go looking for him. Like I said, long story short, I started hitting churches. Me and Pastor Larry hooked up, started going to that Bible study. After 5 years of Bible study, man, I've been on one ever since, and which started me sending out text messages to my family and scripture. And I'm sure they probably was wondering, like, why is Q sending out a scripture? That ain't him. He was just doing the fool with us the other day, and especially my male cousins that know because I got down with them. Right, Losis might be on this call. Esup might be on this call. I don't know, but they was with me, and so for me to be sending them stuff probably had them really tripping, you know, and some of my other partners and things like that. But again, God is at work now. I'm transitioning here, family, and there was a time where again, and I just kind of want to make this point before I move on, right? That once I was able to embrace, right, that what God really is, once I was able to see him clearly, now I was able to get both feet in. Remember, I told you in 2010, I still had one foot out, right? I was using him for the peace, but I had the money part handled. Now it was like, okay, now I'm all in. I see you for what you are, Father. You are all that, and it ain't no way I could ever go back to the other things. I encourage anybody listening tonight, whether it's for you, whether it's for somebody else. I know a lot of the things that I come across in street ministry is young brothers will tell me that God thing don't work for me. Family, it worked for my mom and them. It worked for them, but it don't work for me. I tried it. But the challenge is, and this is what I admonish you. I tell you, take this. If you come up against that spirit in people, ask them this. Ask them, have you ever really tried him, though? Have you went all in with him, both feet? I mean, yeah, you was probably on the fence, but have you jumped in with both feet? Because if you had, there's no way you would ever come back out. So put that one in your tool belt, family. That's big, and it really blesses me as I move through this thing. I'm grateful, right, a second chance. God showed up in 2010. He could have spun off on me. I called on him in 2013. He showed back up. So I'm grateful and dependent. Act three, this is my final act, and I'm going to shut it down from here. Here I am now, 9 years, right, walking with the Lord. It'll be 9 years in March, and I'm still, or in February or whatever. And so here I am, 9 years in, and check this out, fam, I'm weak. I'm still weak, right? The posture God want me in, weak. There's some things I've overcome, right? I've grown in some areas and, you know, and those kind of things, but I'm still dependent. I deliver the message in the park sometimes on Sundays. The pastor will have me share a word, and I'm doing a Bible study here, but I'm still weak, y'all. I ain't finished, right? I'm not a finished product. None of us are. I fell in sin. I was talking to the people in the park about this a few weeks ago. I fell in sin, and it was something I had been praying around, and I was really upset at myself. I was really convicted, man. I was mad, and what I had to do was I had to go to the Word. Right, I realized in that moment that, man, I ain't never going to be strong enough, Q, to overcome everything. And that's, again, that's what God got to have me. He got to have me in a submission position. 2 Corinthians is the scripture I want to share really briefly. And it's he's talking about how we deal with sin, right? Sin is a thought. It comes in the form of a thought first, right? Because remember, we battle in the spirit. We don't battle in the flesh, right? The Bible tells us that we battle principalities and high places and thoughts that come first. And sorry about that, family. In, what was I just saying? Oh, 2 Corinthians is where that comes from. It's 2 Corinthians, and the scripture is in chapter 10, verse 3. And I'll just read that really briefly. It says, for though we live in the world, and this is Paul's talking here, and he might be writing, I'm not sure. But he says, but for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's big. That's saying that anything that looked like God, anything that doesn't look like God, we running it by his desk. God, what this sound like to you? God, what that look like to you? Before I do anything, right, I'm running it by God. That says that night when I started having that panic attack, instead of trying to stretch and trying to exercise, that said I should have ran straight to God. I got to run them things by him first. We take thoughts captive is what that scripture says. There's another scripture that's just as powerful, and this comes out of Ephesians, right? It's talking around the same thing in Ephesians 6, and I'll read that for you really briefly. I think this is probably the last scripture that I have to share with you for tonight. Yeah, this comes out of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 10 through, and he's talking about the armor of God. I might not even have to read it. I can just kind of talk you through it, but he's talking about how we fight. Right, he's given us the weapons. How do we? He just told us that we battle in the spiritual. That's how I fight against sin. That's how I fight against negative thoughts. But he's telling me now what to use, and it's called the armor of God. And you'll find them in Ephesians 6, and I'll just go through them really quick. But there's six pieces of armor, and the first one is for the head, and right, it's called the helmet of salvation, right. And then there's a chest plate of righteousness. And then there's a belt of truth, right? There's a shield of faith. And then there's, I like this one. And this is the one, y'all. It's the sword of the spirit, right? The sword of the spirit is the word of God. That's the weapon. That's what we're using to attack. That's what we're using to cast down, right? That's why the Bible is so important. That's why I got to have some word. I got to know this word so I can, and I got to feed on it so I can come against those things. And then the sixth piece of armor is that my feet are shod, it says, shod in the preparedness of the gospel, right? That means I'm rooted in the truth of the gospel, right? My boots, I'm grounded in something real. Amen. The situations and the things that come against us, even though they might look like, man, it's a bad season. I mean, even right now, you know, I'm dealing with some things. You know, as I'm sure most of you may be as well, right? But these things don't come, again, to drive us away. They don't come to destroy us, right? These things are coming to draw us closer to God, to see him in his rightful place. I mentioned earlier that one of the reasons that our world is so out of whack is because the preeminence of God ain't seen by everybody, right? For some people, power is at top. For some people, money, whatever it might be, is at the top. And God ain't at the top. So when you got that, you're going to have dysfunction in the place. Feed the spirit, right? This is what I'm sending you off on. Make sure we're feeding the spirit, right? That spiritual man's got to be fed. That's praying. That's fasting. That's getting in the word, right? Remember, fasting ain't just food. Fasting is getting closer to God by whatever means necessary. If fasting mean I got to turn off Sports Center. If fasting mean I got to turn off the gym, if fasting, whatever it is that's in the way between me and God, I got to get rid of it. It ain't just food. So fasting, prayer, worship, these are the things that'll bring us closer. Getting in the word, that we have to have a strong spiritual man. I'm winding up, Sister Nisi, and I just want to say again, I'm dependent. Obviously, I'm a work in progress. I am dependent, and I'm grateful to be dependent. I want to thank you, family, for listening to me and allowing me to share my heartbeat with you tonight. And God bless you all.
Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you so much, Brother Q, for being willing, being a willing vessel and saying yes to the Lord, that you was willing to come on and share your testimony and share a word. It was definitely powerful, and I know that it's gonna, I know that it's blessed many. I know that it's blessed me, amen. And so what I would like to do right now is, if there's anyone who's listening in tonight to the broadcast and you feel like maybe you need prayer, or maybe you just feel like you want to share how maybe this message has spoke to you, how it's ministered to you, if you got a revelation from it, or if you just want to give some words of encouragement to Brother Q, I'm going to take a moment, tell you you could dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad, and that will let our team know that you have a question or a comment. While we're waiting on that, Brother Q, because maybe somebody do feel like they need prayer, and I know a lot of times people are shy when it comes to talking in front of an audience, so we may not get those those questions or comments. So, but I want to thank you again for taking the time to be with us here on Thursday. And I just pray that I want to just say a quick prayer with you and just lift you up. And, Father, we just lift up our brother, Q, before you in the name of Jesus. Father God, yes, I just thank you for this brother. I thank you for how you're using him, Father. Lord, I pray that you would continue to use him, Father, and that you would continue to bless him. Father God, that you would meet all of his needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, I pray that you would continue to give him a spirit of boldness. Father, that he would share his story, that he would share how you delivered him, that he would share how you met his needs, that he would share how you've given him peace, the peace that passes all understanding. So, Father God, we just thank you. I pray, Father, that you will extend his territory, that you will open up doors of opportunity for him. Lord, I pray that you would give him favor with you and with men, that everything he touched prospers. Father God, I pray that in these days to come, Lord, that there are some things that he's been praying and believing for. Lord, that those things will begin to manifest. Father, and another testimony of your goodness and your mercy, Father. So we just thank you right now for Brother Q. And, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to be with him. Give your angels charge over him, Father. Place a hedge of protection about him. Keep him from all seen and unseen dangers. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So, Brother Q, we want to thank you for bringing that word from the word on tonight. And I just want to thank our listening audience listening in for tuning in this evening. Oh, we do have someone. Let's see here. Yes, caller 951, last 42311.
I wanted to just say thank you, Pastor Q and Denise. This is one of the most powerful, powerful, powerful testimonies that was clear, concise, and true. And it blessed my heart. And I wanted to say thank you. Thank you, and please continue to share the message in such a simple and clear way of the gospel. God bless you, Denise. Great show today.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you, my spiritual mentor and father. Thank you so much, because he's normally silent in the background. So I just thank God for that. Thank you. Thank you, Dad, for the words of encouragement for Pastor Q. Thank you so, so much. Love you.
Love Amen. Praise God.
How do I get out of the queue?
Just push 1 again. You can just push one again, and it should take you out. Okay, we have another caller. Area code 219, last 4-7563. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Hello, my name is Brother Ron Gaston, and I'm from Michigan City, Indiana. Good friend of Q's from over 30 years ago. We both went to Chabot Junior College, and he had already played and came after I had came. But it's powerful how God has reconnected us through our former coach, Terry Gaganin. And Q and I have been going back and forth for the last couple of months. He's been encouraging me. But tonight, to just hear you, after all the things that we've talked about in silence, and now for you to come and be so transparent and to open up and share your life with the listeners. You know, God is a God of faithfulness. And, brother, I just want to encourage you to continue to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I want you to continue to be faithful over the few things. I know you talk about you're not a pastor, you're not this. You are, God has made you an able-bodied minister, and it's obvious tonight. You've shown that God's hand is all over your life, Brother Q. Man, I love you, bro, and I just look forward to continue to talk with you, to encourage you, to hear from you, because you encourage me, brother. You just don't know kind of downtime in my life, and God reconnected us for a reason. You're very continue to remain intentional. I believe, God, you know your why now. God is working and giving you your why. You do what you do. And I think many times we want to know our what and our how, but I think if we start with why, and your why is because you're dependent and you're desperate, and you're desperately dependent on the Lord. So, bro, you bless me. Thank you, Sister Denise. I don't know you, but God bless you for the work that God has established in your life. And I just pray that you continue to bring great testimonies on and follow the Lord's guidance as he continues to open up a whole new realm of people for you to minister to, even in this season. Yeah. So God bless you both.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We have another call. Just one second. Caller, area code 206, last 4-1574. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Yes, this is his cousin Phyllis, and I really was inspired by the testimony, and the reason why is because I remember some of those things Q went through, and I was living. I would see him in the midst of that walk, and to hear some of the things that he, where he's changed, it put a smile on my face, and I said, I remember that time. So he touched me with that, and for me not to stop my walk. And I'm still growing. I'm not there. I'm nowhere near there. But, cousin, thank you for blessing me tonight. I appreciate that. And thank you for sending it out.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, we want to thank the listening audience for tuning in on tonight. Tonight's been a blessing. You brought such an awesome testimony. You broke it down. As my mentor said, you made it very clear and concise. And so I just really thank God for that. I thank God that my mentor had words of encouragement and empowerment. I'm not making it about him, but I always want to give honor where honor is due. And so just want to let him know that I honor him and thank him so much for participating by giving you some words of encouragement. So again, listening audience, we are here every Thursday night, same time, same place. If tonight blessed you, then I'm sure that the Thursdays to come will bless you. We do have some more. Like I said, I'm still going to be bringing the word. I'm still going to be ministering. But I'm going to at least take two Thursdays a month, depending on how God leads me. And I want to bring in guests. I want to bring in guests to bring forth the word, to bring forth their testimony. So if that is you and you're listening in on tonight and you believe that God is leading you to be able to share, then please reach out to me. I'm going to give my email so you could jot it down, and you could reach me at MCD Network Inc. So that's MCD Network Inc. at gmail.com. Again, MCD Network Inc. at gmail.com. Shoot me an email, give me your name, contact information, and then we'll talk. We'll talk and we'll go from there and see if this is definitely a good fit for you, and this is definitely something that God is sharing with you to do. Amen. And just continue to join us on Thursday night. Please, if you were blessed, share it. Let people know. Within 15 minutes after the show, there is a recorded version for those who may have missed a portion of the show, or for those who want to go back and listen to the show, that is available on that website on the flyer. You could go in there and pull up tonight's show and listen to it, or if it blessed you, send it and let it bless someone else as well. Again, man of God, we want to thank you for bringing the word, for being obedient to the Spirit of God. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Audience, know that you are truly loved and appreciated. And I look forward to being with you on next week. Have a good night.
If I do what your word tells me.